It's that time. It's that time of year. It's Dave 2D season. Don't you know how they say Yeezy season? I say Dave 2D season.
2D season.
Yeah, that's what I say. That's what matters to me. Showed up in the highlighter today. That's a move. Sure. That's a move.
I got it for my birthday.
That's even cooler. Birthdays are cool. What do you think about birthdays?
I used to love them. And then as you get older, they start to mean less. To me, at least.
You're not old.
Okay, sure.
Not to me, never. No, I mean, we're both a couple senior citizens on the internet.
Absolutely.
In internet years, that's for damn sure.
Dude, I think I might be like one of the oldest YouTubers.
Old man YouTube.
Well, like tech YouTubers, for sure.
Experience. I don't mind it.
Yeah, but it has you. It gives you a different look on everything. That was so resonant on these headphones. Like my brain was rattling from that.
No, you're right. The years give you a special set of lenses. Absolutely. What is that thing? The old man was young once before, but the young man's never been old.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You never saw that before.
Nope.
Not like you. Anyway, Dave 2D's back, Dave Lee. And people love it when you're on the show.
I don't know about that, but okay.
No, I mean, it's undisputed.
Listen, I like being here. I like being on your show.
Okay.
I like hanging out with you.
Okay.
Let's talk about this, the tabs.
He wants to get moved forward. He's like, please stop.
Stop.
Introducing me already.
The tabs.
Go to the precious safety of the tabs.
Do you mind really quickly just bringing the mic down?
Oh, am I too loud?
And then you can just aim the mic up.
Pleasing angle for you there.
That's nice.
Got it.
That's very nice.
Okay.
He even put the teal color behind there for you on the RGB.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a little touch he put right there?
That's pretty 2D.
It's pretty nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dave, he called me up and he said, there's a lot happening in the world. He called me up and he said, I need to get over there, and I got a bone to pick. And he said, there's pressing issues, and the world needs my take on it.
Sure. That's completely what happened.
And so we've compiled some of these issues, and Will has arranged them. I'm surprised he changed the arrangement. But anyway, enough of this banter.
Wait, you already did episodes on Apple Car and Right to Repair?
Yeah, the most recent ones. Yeah, we did. It was the report that Mark Gurman did that the Apple Car, that they were expediting it. It's going to be 2025.
Yeah.
Instead of what you might think it would take to develop a car.
I didn't watch your episode on it. But
it was just a bunch of rumors. Like, it was like they're increasing hiring and they want a fully autonomous vehicle. It's not going to have a steering wheel at all.
By 2025,
exactly.
Eh?
So the skepticism comes out, but then you click on the article and, you know, it's the usual churn of the whole thing.
Of the rumor.
I don't doubt that they care about it and that it's happening and it should happen.
Sure. But you don't think it's 2025?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
That seems so very ambitious. These things are hard to make. I mean, look at all the EV. But if a company could do things.
It would be them.
It would be the bottomless pile of money that is Apple.
But cars, man.
Cars,
that's
man.
A whole different ball of wax.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Project Titan.
Damn straight.
I haven't been following it. I've heard the rumors, and the idea of it sounds awesome. Man, see, my wife doesn't even drive. She doesn't have her license. Something like this would just be like, I feel like there's so many people that would benefit from it.
What do you mean by that? Like just the fully autonomous aspect?
Yeah.
She doesn't like the idea of driving?
No, she doesn't have her license.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious why.
She just never did. Like, we lived downtown. There was no need for, like, right? We just walked to work.
But now she's maintained it.
Yeah.
So there's no feeling that she has to.
We're just used to it.
But
she wants to bypass the steering wheel.
I think her and her sister, like, there's people. I know a lot of people that want to bypass the steering wheel.
That's interesting.
And they're banking on stuff like this.
Okay.
And if Apple came out with it, like, imagine Tesla had a fully automated vehicle. The trust that you have in that brand for a lot of people has to start from the bottom, right? But for people like North America, they know the Apple brand, they got an autonomous vehicle. I feel like there's a level of trust right from the get-go.
People love the Apple brand. But should we expect that Apple would beat Tesla to the punch where they're at already and Apple hasn't shown anything? And
yeah,
it was kind of here's some of the apprehension. For example, voice assistants. Right? Apple hired everybody and they're like, Siri's gonna be the thing, and then it kind of became a meme. I know people say it's gotten better. I don't know personally. Do you agree with that? Has Siri gotten better recently?
I don't feel like it has, if I'm being honest. In terms of usability.
And so anyway, you end up with, like, not everything Apple has tried has been an immediate home run. Mm-hmm. And so you do, since it is an entirely new segment, I mean, the phone was pretty good out the gate. It is kind of surprising that they never made a phone before. And they've gotten better, obviously, afterwards. But it's hard to imagine that Gen 1 is going to be the first vehicle on the road without a steering wheel from a company that's never made a car before. That would be my apprehension on the report.
That'd be pretty crazy.
The stock went up.
Yeah, I noticed.
I don't know. People are excited. It's a product category that has changed a lot recently.
It's a category that has ridiculous potential for growth.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and it kind of transitioned from this exclusive segment that was kind of separate from tech, and it's done the full merge now. With companies like Tesla. Like, I don't even know if the Model S is automotive or tech. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Because the more exposure I have to it, the more I'm like, this is a tech product.
Because it leans so heavily on not just like the hardware, but the software, particularly software. It leans so much on it to be able to make the product good.
So what do you think? Is the Model S automotive or tech? And you can't say both.
Tech, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Hmm. Like, I feel like it's a vehicle, obviously, right? But there's too much of tech inside it.
Right. It's the scales have tipped in favor of tech, and it's only going to increase, especially if the steering wheel goes away.
Yeah.
What do you got? Leaked images? What's your next one, Will? Oh, no. You wanted to do the right to repair. We wanted to get your take on this. So we did a recent episode on this topic. I have like a personal connection to it because I had a repair shop.
You did?
Many years ago.
Wait, hold on. It was your own repair shop?
Mm-hmm.
You started a repair shop?
Yes.
Near Ryerson?
Yes.
How old were you when you did this?
20? I don't know.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, around 20. And it was... when we're going into it, I wasn't even sure what we were going to be able to do because of the weird Apple-ness of it. Like, I liked Apple products.
Okay.
I use MacBooks.
Why do you use past tense, liked?
No, I'm saying like...
Oh, back then you liked it.
What I'm saying, because it is past tense, this is gone. I still do. Wait, give me a MacBook. Throw a MacBook at my head. They're everywhere.
Okay.
But it was, I think the reason that that's significant at that moment in time is that any kind of like enthusiast shop like this wouldn't focus on Apple because it's like, are you crazy? There's you can't get you. These parts. That's actually pictures of the shop right there.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a major throwback. So most of what I was doing was refurbishing, like fixing up busted PowerBooks and iBooks at the time. You can see some of them on the, and that's actually a black MacBook, I think. It might be, or it might be a PC laptop. We had some of that stuff too. And then people, what would happen most frequently, and I guess I'm rehashing a little bit because we talked about this in the previous episode, is that people would go to the Apple store. It had just recently opened at the Eaton Center, just down the road from where this was. And people would get quoted a repair that would be astronomical.
Oh.
Right? This was early days, like, oh, your iPod battery's dead? It's going to be $300.
Mm-hmm.
And they would bring me the paper and say, are they right? Do I have to do this?
And how much cheaper would your stuff be?
Oh man, I don't remember. I mean, we could probably do a battery for like $40. I don't remember what it was. But depending on the repair, some of it was justified. If it was a logic board or something that they spilled water on,
it would
be really tough repair. And Apple would often recommend, they would kind of price their repair right at the replacement cost. It's like, isn't that wonderful how that, but, Did they really want to be in the business of like repairs in that way? And so anyway, the point being is I had been doing this and I had struggled through this kind of like unacknowledged relationship, trying to get parts. And
yeah,
I had just had the exposure to it. So I knew how difficult it could be. And oftentimes you had to be getting like
gray market parts.
Yeah, random stuff or harvesting it from elsewhere. And it just, I mean, it was tough. It was tough. And people genuinely wanted alternatives and options. And yeah, in other product categories, they had it. Like if something breaks on your car, maybe not your Tesla, but right, you have maybe other places you can go get a second look, and maybe it would be more economical. And even when I was doing this, there were plenty of other shops doing similar things, like replacing screens. Apple wouldn't even replace it. You shatter your glass, they wouldn't even do that at one time.
This doesn't feel like quite the move, though. Like this doesn't, again, I don't know if you've talked about this, right? But to me, and again, very cursory look at this program, okay? But when I first see this, it doesn't feel like users have access to like inexpensive repairs now.
Yeah, no, it's not the dream.
Right.
It's not the dream come true that they're making it affordable to do so. They're just, they were getting pressure, right?
Yeah.
There was a number of complaints and what would you call that? Petitions and things for them to open this up. And actually I came to find out after I recorded the clip and glanced over the original article, even Louis Rossman, who he's the right to repair guy. He still does this with the shop in New York and whatnot.
Yeah. What's his take on
that? He wasn't super happy either. He wanted more. Everybody wanted it to be, more encouraging, more inviting. But yeah, listen, you get access to, yeah, see, it also depends, look, it also depends on the items themselves and how repairable are they.
Yeah.
Everything is so integrated now. Back when I was messing with these laptops, I could actually like swap out a RAM chip,
right,
and be like, oh, maybe that's the reason you're getting those beeps and it's not booting up that incompatible RAM chip or something failed or, so it's definitely not the dream come true.
I think it's...
But it's something, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's good that it exists. It's better to have it than not. But I don't feel like it's big moves. At least from the very light look that I've taken at it.
Would you be the type to ever consider repairing an iPhone or a MacBook instead of having Apple do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, for sure. Like almost, like I've modded a lot, even my current iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I like to, I'm the dude that like changes the colors of my iPhone's bezels and stuff because I like the look. But that's not this, right? This is like repairs and battery replacements and like, can they do screen replacements too with this program? No. Oh wait, you
I think so? Yeah.
Yeah, on a phone, sure. Yeah. But like that stuff is, it's cool, but for one, there's no way it's cheap. Like, that's the big thing, right? That's why you don't go, why you don't want to go to the Apple store. It's expensive. And I feel like this program, it can't be that much cheaper than just going to the Apple
store. No, I mean, we're probably going to have to sign up. Maybe we should actually try to do one of these repairs.
Yeah.
But I would presume displays are going to be $700-$800. I mean, they always were.
Yeah.
Even if you were, because I used to be friends with all the authorized repair centers at the time.
Right.
Even if you were ordering directly from Apple because you could, it still wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
So no, that's it. And listen, I got to give a shout out right now because Will's on iFixit and I realized iFixit didn't come up. I keep saying Louis Rossman's name, but iFixit was a tremendous resource. Even back in the day when I had my shop, it was these guys because we couldn't get the repair manuals. So it was these guys that were doing a better job than the repair manuals in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these photos, man. And
they're good.
And the step-by-step procedures. And of course, they do video now as well. So I don't know what it means for them and their business, but shout out to iFixit for being day one on this topic.
Yeah.
What's that Star Wars one you got, Will? Oh, you want to go here? You want to go here first?
Sure.
Okay, leaked images of a Google Pixel 6a show a more compact device with no headphone jack. The device may be the first mid-range Pixel device that doesn't have a headphone jack. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mid-range. They were trying to satisfy those holding on to the headphones. You care about the headphone jack? Or
I do. I still use my headphone jack.
Mm.
Like every night I plug up, well, a Lightning or a USB-C headphone jack.
Oh, the adapter.
Yeah.
Right.
I would way prefer like a regular 3.5 because I use a 3.5 from a computer, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to unplug it and just use it. I feel like people just gotten used to it. But that looks so much like a regular Pixel 6. I mean, that's been their style for the past few years, right? Just like a cheaper version of their flagship. But it looks so much like it. Are there more pictures?
Well, these are renders. It's from OnLeaks and 91 Mobile.
He's pretty good. OnLeaks? Like,
yeah, absolutely. But it could change ever so slightly. But yeah, it certainly looks like Pixel 6 styling.
Yeah.
At a cheaper price. Well, I mean, I'm kind of interested in the mid-range area just because for most people, it probably makes more sense. They're usually getting more value than getting the more premium stuff. What is a Pixel 6 price right now? Oh, look at this. This is trivia. Who's gonna say it? Will, you got to guess. No, don't look it up. Guess first. Guess first. Pixel 6 price, American USD.
Yeah, how do I not know this? Oh my god.
Well, no, I mean, it's so many numbers, man. Like,
no, man, Pixel 6's price tag was special. 700, right?
699.
700.
Okay, you're both agreeing?
Are you looking it up? That's my guess.
He hasn't looked it up yet.
Okay.
Well, then what about the Pro then?
That was less special. That was 900, I want to say.
899, 699 is what you're going with. All right, let's
No. 699 and
no.
700? No, dude, it was.
What do you got? What do you got, boys? What do you got?
I don't remember.
You got people that are shouting at their thing right now.
They're so mad at us.
Well, we got the other screw up of having Canadian prices floating around in our skull. Also, click the buy button. Let's find out.
No, that's you don't want the Canadian.
I got it.
Yeah, so $799. It's probably $699 US.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the mid range one comes in at what?
$499.
Haven't they done $399 before?
I think they did $349 at one point.
Oh, $349.
That was crazy.
This one looks nicer.
Yeah.
But it is pretty wild what you can get your hands on now for like $300-$400. And arguably, when you're making recommendations,
you're on the Pro, Will.
In public, you know, so it matters to people. The cost matters. And if somebody would say to you, look, I need a new phone.
$599, dude. Man, we look like clowns right now.
Well,
yeah.
That's why I didn't say anything.
That's why it was special.
That's why I didn't say anything.
You made me guess.
It's fine, man. Yeah, like I said, we got Canadian and US floating around and Euros and whatever else, man. Global audience. So $599. So then the A model should be like $449 or $399 maybe, which I think if the fit and finish is anything like those ones,
that's
kind of cool. That's kind of cool because I don't know, what does Apple give you at that price? What does Apple give you for like $400? They give you
XR?
No.
At $400?
I don't think so.
I don't even think that yet.
They give you do they still make the SE?
I don't know.
Remember when we said we're the old men of YouTube? This is what old men do. They go, what's the price on the, what's the pricing on the, yeah, I think it's the SEs around there. If they still sell it, I don't even know.
That's Canadian again. Maybe for $400 you could bag an SE.
Mm-hmm.
In US.
Anyway. Yeah, it looks pretty good. What do you think about the design on the Pixel in general? You're obviously not using it. I'm using it.
No, I'm not using it. I like it a lot. It's just, I don't know. I find like when you are, I've been using the Apple Watch more, and I find it's really difficult to use an Apple Watch without having an iPhone.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you could, or you could double phone, but I'm just like, I'm not in the double phone days anymore.
The double phone is, I don't even know if I ever like spend an entire day with a double phone outside of like being at a convention or something. Just pocket real estate, and they're just not different enough. Like, you have good phones in both platforms. It's not really necessary. I remember when, once upon a time, when there was a big app discrepancy, like some app, I remember people, there was all kinds of, conspiracies that like Instagram looked way better on an iPhone or something.
I think it did too. Yeah.
I think it did too. So there were all kinds of arguments. Like people would whip out their iPhone to snap an Instagram photo because the compression algorithm inside of Instagram on iOS was superior, and crazy times. But everything is so good now that I just, unless you're doing it for strictly scientific purposes because you feel you need to be exposed to these things at all times. But then you can make the argument as well that if you're evaluating these things, then you're kind of putting yourself in a really unusual circumstance where the average customer doesn't have the chance to be carrying around all this stuff.
That's right.
They got to make a choice. So you got to make a choice.
I did the double phone for, well, I had two numbers, right? So you could double SIM it, but I don't know. It just made sense to double phone for a while. But right now, I'm...
And what was going on? Tell us about those days and those times.
The double phone days?
Yeah, what happened?
I mean, for one, having two devices sucks. That weight, that thing, right? The two. I don't know. I did it more for evaluation, to be completely honest. I know you're saying that evaluation is like skewed and stuff if you have two phones. But there was a time when... I think it was probably around like Android 6... Seven, the operating systems felt so starkly different from each other.
Right.
Like, especially with the notifications and the lack of it on iOS. And I was like, I don't know, it felt cool to have two of the same kind. Mm-hmm. But now they're much more similar.
Right. Notifications are still a little bit different.
Yeah.
For sure. Is it like everybody in this studio is constantly transitioning between iOS and Android? Like, yeah. I think Will just started using iOS,
mm-hmm.
and then I quit using iOS, and then like it's like everybody is in some different phase of transitioning from one to the next.
Yeah,
but the fact that it can be done as easy as it can, I think it says a lot about where the,
because everything's in the cloud now,
man. Where the thing is. Yeah, it's although there are still some headaches along the way. Star Wars $6,000 cruise. Has a lightsaber training, first limb gets removed for free.
What?
Are you really a Jedi if you don't get dismembered by a sharp LED light? Okay, so I presume what we're looking at here, and maybe Will wants to break it down, but it sounds like some sort of luxurious journey you go on.
Mm-hmm. Well, this article was mainly, I guess it's the wrong article. I was looking for the one with the real lightsaber. Did you see this recently?
No.
There's a real lightsaber out there.
That can cut things?
No, but it looks real.
Oh, I have seen it, but it's not recent.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've seen this come up from time to time.
Like it's got like the, it goes up and down with something that looks like a measuring tape.
Really?
Okay, maybe we're thinking of different things.
I guess so. This was 6 months ago. But recently they introduced like a new one. I mean, that's cool, right?
Okay, so...
Wait a second here. Wait.
Yeah. No, okay. So I saw the article 6 months ago. The way that worked, my memory serves me correctly, is that it's... imagine, like, you know, measuring tapes, right? The metal thing. And imagine two of them back to back or side by side.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, this one.
That was the video embedded in the article, Will.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh.
But they were presenting it like on stage. This is the one that I saw. Or maybe it was like a different one.
That's not the same as the one that you just showed.
That is not the same
no,
one.
That no. didn't grow.
That looks like the type of toy one that you can buy forever now. But this looks different.
What is this?
I mean, you get to go inside of a whole spaceship. Sneak peek of lightsaber training in Star Wars Galactic Starkers. So you go to Disney World, and this is like a ride. It's not an actual cruise. I thought you were going on a cruise that was Star Wars themed.
In space? A space cruise?
No, like a boat. Like a cruise.
That had a whole theme of Star Wars around it, which could probably work too.
Because Disney.
Yeah.
Just the explanation is because Disney.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm probably not going to find it. I found it, like, I don't know, during the weekend, but I didn't save it, unfortunately. But it literally came out of nowhere, just like the one that in the previous video.
Yeah, dude, you got to find it. Like, look up...
And it was really expensive.
Oh, so you can buy that now?
No, you can't.
Okay.
But they priced it out just so, you know, at least there's some sort of...
Well, what about that? Look, new footage. Disney's retractable real lightsaber. New footage. I was actually looking at the one below that, but... Yeah, there you go. New footage.
You know where my brain just went?
There
just,
you go.
You know where my eye went? To the dislike ratio. At 10%.
Mm. Wait a sec. I thought the dislike ratio was gone.
But you see how useful that is?
Wait a second.
Right now, we can...
Why is it back?
I think it's gone for some people and present for others.
What? YouTube Premium?
No, I think it's just like one of their experimental things.
I thought they officially announced it. It was gone for me and now it's back. It was gone for him on this show and now it's back.
YouTube
Premium. Maybe they're imagine you have to pay. A/B testing.
I think it's a YouTube Premium feature. I think you need to sign out.
He's not even signed in.
Oh, he's not signed in.
Imagine they made you pay to see the ratio.
Yo, it's not as crazy as you think. Look at the features you're paying for on Twitter now. Like undo a tweet, pay. It's a pretty wild feature to pay for, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be terrible. No, but I find it useful.
No, it's useful, but...
But I would never pay for it, man. No way.
Shouldn't everybody have an undo tweet? Like,
Sorry. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the dislike ratio.
Okay, but I feel like it's in the same category. It's not like the most necessary thing, but it's a nice feature to have. Because right. You got it in Gmail. Gmail added undo.
Yep.
And I think everybody got it, right? You had to pay for it.
It works the same way. Like, it doesn't actually send it, right?
Yeah, you have a little extra time to undo the email as you're reading it over as it's about to send. It's like a buffer. It's like on TV, the 7-second delay.
Yeah.
And Twitter put it in, and then everyone celebrated. No one was mad they didn't get it for free. Everyone paid for it with Twitter Blue, premium Twitter. So I don't think it's that crazy, actually, that YouTube Premium would charge you for dislikes.
That'd to see so dislikes. Weird.
Well, I really want to get to the bottom. I don't.
Okay, here we go. This is the one. This
Will's
the one.
Still on look his at lightsaber.
There look at how cool that is. Huh?
That's pretty cool.
Well, obviously, he couldn't show it.
So they had to turn the lights off?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, well.
I'm not huge on Star Wars, though.
Listen, man, we moved on. We need to know what's going on with the dislike.
I was trying to look for it, but...
The dislike was, like, a big deal. If it's back, did that mean they bent to the pressure?
I think it's just experimental. Sometimes you're going to see it, and sometimes you won't.
No way, dude. It was off.
For a little bit.
Okay.
Do you control it in, like, your own admin panel or whatever?
It was off for me across all YouTube. Back when the story broke, it was off for me. Because I was like, wow, this is so weird watching YouTube without the bar.
Without the ratio?
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's off on my mobile right there.
Sure.
So is it mobile only that it's off?
I think it just fluctuates, dude. I don't think it's like baked in yet.
Wow. That's wild discovery.
You know what they're probably doing? They're probably like testing it to see people's viewing habits. How does it change?
Yeah, A/B testing.
Right? Versus...
No, I get all that, but
how much more money are they making by removing that?
But usually when you make an announcement, right, there was a press release.
Yeah.
Like everything came out.
Yeah.
And look, they turned it off and turned it back on. I'm telling you, man. I don't know. I mean, obviously I can't look this up right now.
You seem quite worked up that it's appeared back.
Well, only because if they did it, like... network wide, then it means they were listening to the feedback, which is not, you know, wonder.
You're seeing it on you're still seeing it off on your phone.
And then it gets me wondering if it's a mobile only thing or I just like more detail because it was kind of a hot topic.
It's still a hot topic.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I put the dislike count back on my channel. See, I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions about it. Obviously, I have my own questions about it. Oh, what's that? An update to dislikes. The dislike count will be private across YouTube. November 10th. Like, they're saying it's gone. In their own...
Oh. An extension?
An update to dislikes on YouTube. This is their press release from the YouTube team November 10th. The dislike count will be private across YouTube.
No, man. On the weekend, I think I saw dislikes. Just like here and there.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's baked in.
By the way, guys, I'm not doubting no, you specifically.
You're wondering why.
I'm saying if you put out a press release saying site-wide they're gone, YouTube's not stupid. We're talking about Google here.
Yep.
Like, if the dislikes are back, it's
news.
It's noteworthy. It's not nothing.
I'm thinking they're just doing this to test. They want to see your viewing habits. Now they removed it for a little bit and they put it back for some people. They're like, how are they viewing
it? So where's the press release to say that? We're putting it back for a bit. They made like a big commentary about it, like a big statement that it's gonna be an inclusive space free from dislike and whatnot.
So next week we'll have Neil Mohan, the chief product officer.
Oh, right. Okay.
Maybe you can ask him about it.
Dave, you want to come back or what?
You guys got the chief product officer of YouTube to come on this show?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Okay. That's better. I'm sorry, Dave. That's better than asking you.
Yeah.
He knows for sure what's going on.
Why don't you ask him? Is it back? You can yell at him. You can raise your voice and be like, what's going on?
He's
going
to be here and then dislikes are gone. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was on last week and they were never there. I'm like, no, I got the record. It's
you're
right
crazy,
here.
Dude. Yeah. I don't know. This might be for you, Dave. Are you a Battlefield fan?
So I pre-ordered that thing like an idiot and I didn't like it right off the rip.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't play it much though. I gave it a very short run.
Play the beta?
Yeah.
Before it was out?
Yeah. Okay. Like the, you know, like the pre-release early access stuff. It didn't feel right to me. The graphics are phenomenal, but it just didn't feel right to me.
It's funny because speaking of thumbs down, it racked up 30,000 negative reviews on Valve's digital storefront.
That's a lot, dude.
Why? The worst reviewed games in Steam history.
So is it really that bad, or are the people just trolling?
I don't know. So if there was nothing that stuck out as being like particularly bad. It just didn't feel like a game that I'd want to get into. I'm curious to see what people had to say about like the official release. Oh, dude, it sounds like hitboxes. No regs. Ugh.
So it's a technical problem.
Yeah. Dude, right? See, that thing issues with bullet registration and accuracy. I mean, it's a shooter. That's everything.
You're out. Mm-hmm. You're gone.
Right?
You can't put up with it.
You can't. Like, especially because they have replays, right? And you're like, I definitely clicked and the guy's not taking damage.
What do you think is the right amount of time, the right amount of leeway that you should have a game before giving it a negative review? Like, how much time do you give the developer to fix certain issues?
Dude, zero. If they've launched it, like, delay the launch.
That's the quote, dude. Zero.
Zero. If you've officially launched the product,
right,
that shouldn't be a thing.
So you would rather just delay it, not see it in
delay
the first
it.
Place.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that sours your experience, like, right off the bat.
I'd imagine there's some super fans defending it that are like, they're going to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, they will over time. How could they not?
It's
a multi-million
dollar
game. Yeah. It's a multi-million dollar franchise. I don't think they'll leave it rotten, but that's weird that they launched like that.
Hmm. And that crowd does not mess around. Just like you just said. What was it? What was the quote? Dude, what?
Zero.
Dude, zero. Yeah. That encompasses the whole thing.
Yeah.
How about a little bit of science?
Rats play Doom via VR. Oh, that's cool. So the rat eats the treat. Didn't we see something similar to this, but with chimpanzees?
Look at that guy go.
Yeah.
What were they doing? They were navigating. They were playing Pong? Yeah, they were playing Pong.
Yeah.
Now the rats get to play Doom. The rats got an upgrade on Pong.
Wait, so they strap this thing up into a... It looks to be a giant trackball, and he's just going.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a treat. If he eats the treat, he progresses in the game, he gets the treat. So he learns that by running on the ball, the treat will show up.
Look at that ball, like that. That they custom made that thing.
Oh, for sure.
What is that?
It looks wet.
Yeah, he needs grip, dude.
Oh wow. Oh, the turning is cool too. Wow. Does he shoot though?
He's lost interest. He's like...
No, they got to just bring the cocaine back. Does he...
The cheese cocaine.
Does he... can he shoot the weapons, though, is what I want to know.
Maybe that's the next step. They strap him up on the brain. Just Some sort of helmet.
That's what I thought for a second.
Strap him up on the brain.
Right?
The brain no, helmet.
Like some kind of like neural connection.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could do it. So but I'm glad it's that and I'm glad it's this and not that.
All right, here we go. It's Doom 2. Hoping to make future VR experiments using rodents cheaper, more accessible, and less stressful for the test subject. That would be the rodent. The promise of the project is a relatively cheap $2,000 VR setup that automatically trains rodents to traverse 3D environments without restraining them too much. While refraining from surgical procedures to provide the least stressful circumstance for them, rodent VR rigs have had their presence in neuroscience experiments in the past. I hope to see more such studies to come. All right. The rats get to play more Doom.
Get a high score.
Yeah, why not? You must have seen this one. I mean, I caught it this morning.
Yeah,
I guess Twitter was talking about it. It's
wild.
This event where LeBron, there's a foul shot takes place, and then as the rebound is sort of, I guess it was must have been a rebound, or maybe it was just a box out. Anyway, whatever. Either way, an elbow or a hand, wrist kind of combination hits this other player in the face. And can you just scroll down so I get, Isaiah Stewart, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Isaiah Stewart gets hit and then shortly after the video is following and he's irate and there's an explosion and it's a full, oh no, the shot went in, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
It's like, chill out.
He doesn't even need to.
The shot went in.
There was a surprising amount of blood for what seemed to have happened from LeBron.
Yeah, now this is a weird one because like take for example in hockey, which I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm familiar with
basketball. There's a hell of a lot more blood in hockey.
No, but I didn't mean like that. I mean there's an actual punishment for drawing blood. Like guys will check if they're bleeding because there's an actual penalty to go with that.
Right.
Do you think that in this case, regardless of the amount of impact, when there's that much blood,
sure,
that there should be like definitely a removal from the game?
No. I mean,
because he was kicked out of the game.
I don't think that's something they should put into the rules. Like if there's a certain amount of blood, then they get ejected from the game.
Or just drawing blood in general, because it does imply a certain amount of force. It's not easy to draw blood.
I think intent is everything though, right? And I did, like, I watched
that's really hard though. Intent is really hard.
Yeah.
In the moment as a ref, like you and I, we get to watch it 17 times sure. over. As a ref in the moment, man, that's tough. But anyway,
So LeBron got ejected.
He got ejected. He was probably going to get ejected anyway. But really the story, I think, is...
The comedy that ensued.
Well, Russell Westbrook became a meme because he squared up and people were like, you're not going to actually...
Yeah.
The Lakers haven't had the greatest season. They were losing by 12 at this point to the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
There was talk about a lack of relationship between LeBron and certain other players in the league. Maybe there was more to this, why he flipped so much. Because there's this kind of a discrepancy there when one guy is so successful and famous and, like, does he get away? I'm not saying this. It has some mixture of things going on.
Sure.
Well, but anyway, what was your take, like, as far as the
I mean, I just watched the memes.
Okay.
Right? That was, I got entertainment out of it.
It was just a meme scroll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the impact seemed accidental. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
Sure.
I just would say I don't think that he meant to have that level of impact
right
on the guy. And I am curious. I know retaliations in the moment, pain, blood, you respond.
Yeah.
But I can't help but be curious as to why it was that much. Like, did he take it as some form of disrespect? Like, you think because you're LeBron James that you can...
I feel like that's part of it.
That I'm not going to respond.
And he was probably not even aware of how much blood there really was, right? From our vantage point, like, by the end of it, it's just streaming, but he probably doesn't even know how much of it is going on. So it just seemed...
Right, it was instant. It was instant.
Yeah.
The impact came in and he got up and he was like, you're not going to do that to
me. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the blood for him.
It could have been a back and forth. It could have been a dialogue during the game.
Yeah.
It could have been a trash talk. You don't belong out here with me. I'm just painting a picture.
Yeah, sure.
All the possible scenarios. But what's crazy is his commitment to trying to get to him. Yeah. Because if you watch here, this is probably the best moment. He's like, yep. He's nodding. He's like, yeah,
I'm good. I'm good.
He's like, yeah, yeah, I know. I hear you. I hear you. And then bang, he's gone.
It's so good.
Oh, man. It's and the whole time, good. If you have the audio on, the whole time you can hear in the crowd the announcer saying, remain in your seats.
Yeah.
Do not, because there's been events in the past and it's so intimate, basketball, where audience members would actually get on the floor during an exchange like that. But it's just, it is one of the most wild basketball clips of all time, no doubt. All right, well, there it is. We've covered all of it, the entire internet, as usual on this show.
And, all of it.
Couldn't have done it without you, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me again.
And I gotta say, thank you so much for blessing us with this fit right here.
Because the get up?
Well, I've been awake. It was like a cup of coffee.
This is super loud.
It was like a cup of coffee, and I needed it, to be quite honest. You know, you're a favorite guest here on the show, and the people appreciate your presence, and we appreciate every time it happens.
All right, man. I'll be sure to come by more often.
There you go.